January 25th, Daniel, Chapter 7. Jesus says, Daniel is the one who has the same note as John, and John is the one who gathers in and amplifies Daniel's initial note. That is why you, little John, like him so much. Like a fish in a clear fish pond, you are happy when you move in the atmosphere of your Christ, who will have his supreme triumph in the hour when Satan, his son, and his courtiers are rendered powerless forever, and in Daniel his atmosphere is present. If Isaiah is the pre-evangelist who speaks of my coming into the world for the salvation of the world, Daniel is the pre-apostle, the pre-John who announces the rise of my eternal triumph as king of the everlasting Jerusalem. Now see the way the signs of the diabolical ministers of the apocalypse are foreshadowed in the four beasts described by Daniel. The commentators have labored to provide a history of human meaning for those four monsters. But it is necessary to project one's gaze much further ahead, and much higher when you meditate on the holy books, lift yourselves above the earth, detach yourselves from the present moment, and project your gaze into the future and the supernatural. The key to the mystery is there. The four beasts. The four errors which will precede the end. The four errors which will be four horrors for mankind, and which will give birth to the final horror. Man was a demigod through grace and faith. Like an eagle and a lion, he was able to face and overcome the dangers of sense, and raise himself to soar in the atmosphere of God, where the soul is joined to her Lord in a supernatural marriage, in continual, swift unions of burning passion, from which she descends to the earth each time renewed in strength, joy, and charity, which she pours upon her brothers and sisters, and she then rises again, even more impetuously, towards God, for every union is an increase in perfection which is fulfilled, when union becomes eternal in my paradise. Atheism tore away man's wings as an eagle and heart as a demigod, and made him an animal walking in the mire and bearing over the mire, towards the mire, his oppressive heart, entirely of flesh and blood. In his selfhood, deprived of the spiritual wings of the Spirit, man bears a weight heavier than lead, a weight bending him over, knocking him down, and plunging him into the mire. Man was a demigod, because of the charity living in him. In loving God and his law, which is the law of charity, he possessed God, and, with God, peace, which is one of God's main attributes, and, with peace, so much universal and individual good. Man rejected the law of God, to take up many other doctrines. But none of them was or is of God, and true charity is thus not in any of them. Hence man, who had embraced atheism, changing from an eagle and a lion into a mere man, through a hellish sorcery gave birth to himself turned into a bear, the fierce devourer of his fellows. But horror produces horror, by an ascending ladder. Horror is ever greater, for in the cursed unions with Satan man, whom Christ brought back to his nature as a demigod, generates increasingly monstrous monsters. And they are the children of his erring, sold to Satan to receive his earthly assistance. From man the demigod came man, from man, the bear, from the bear, the new monster ferocious and false as the leopard, endowed by Satan with multiple wings so as to be swifter in doing harm. I told you that Satan is the aper of God. He too, thus wanted to give wings to his child, by now his child, to humanity without faith and without God. Not the wings of an eagle, but of a vampire, so that it would be a nightmare for humanity itself, and be quick to rush down upon its own parts, the victims of itself, to suck their blood. The mystical pelican, I have opened my heart, to give you my blood. Satan makes man to whom I have given my blood, the vampire that sucks parts of itself, and slays itself with torment. Doesn't it sound like a nightmarish legend? It is, however, your reality. It is not a mythical monster, it is you that with diabolical hunger, devour part of yourselves, bleeding yourselves to death, mutilating yourselves so as to generate afterwards the new parts, while you devour those already formed, with a continuity which has a maniacal aspect to it, diabolically maniacal, however. Power which is willed, pushed forward, and imposed to the point of crime is the third beast. Since it is human power, that is, sold to Satan just to become increasingly powerful, going against every divine and moral law, it begets its monster, whose name is Revolution, and which, in keeping with its nature, bears in the protuberances of its monstrosity all the fiercest horrors of revolutions, the social shipwreck of good and faith. Honesty, respect, morality, religion, freedom, and goodness die when this monster exhales its hellish breath upon the nation, and like a pestiferous emission it expands beyond these confines, infecting different peoples with itself until it infects the whole world, preparing, over the tatters of the victims slain and torn to pieces by it, over the ruins of the nations reduced to rubble, the cradle for the final monster, the Antichrist. I told you that he will be the son of man's lust, born of the marriage of lust with the beast. I told you. I do not change in my mode of expression. What I say is true. I know it with no need to read it. I remember it with no need to reread it. It is written in my mind as God, before which there incessantly flow over each other all the events of man and time, without one's impeding the vision of another. This Antichrist, the perfection of horror, as I was the perfection of perfection, with his numberless weapons, symbolized by the 10 horns, his jaws toothed with iron, his savage feet, and, finally, his small horn, a symbol of the extreme hatred with which Satan will endow his son, to corrupt humanity as he seduces it with his lying mouth, having himself worshipped as a god, will excessively torment those who, as a little faithful flock, will remain my followers. The little horn will grow by the hour to do harm, the satanic intelligence will grow to make the mouth tell the most distressing lies, he will grow in power as I grew in wisdom and grace, armed with eyes to read the thought of holy men, and kill them through that thought. Oh, my saints of the last time! If the life of the early ones amidst the persecutions of paganism was heroic 3 times, 7 times, and 7 times, 7 times as holy will be the life of my last saints. Only those nourished with the crumb of faith will be able to have a lion's heart, to face those torments and the eyes and feathers of an eagle, to gaze steadily at me as sun, and fly to me as truth, as the darkness overwhelms them on all sides and deceit tries to persuade them to worship it, and believe in it. After the forerunners of the Antichrist himself will come. The anti-Christian period, symbolized by the beast armed with 10 horns, the 10 servants, who are believed to be kings of Satan, 3 of whom, note carefully, will be torn away and cast into nothingness, that is, into the abyss where God is not present, and where there is thus nothingness, the opposite of God, who is all, will culminate in the birth and growth of the 11th horn to the point of its maximum power, the reason for the fall of 3 forerunners, and seed of the true Antichrist, who will curse God as no son of man ever did, trample upon God's saints, and torture the Church of Christ. Since he will be the son of the union of demoniac pride with human lust, he will think he can do great things, and change the times and laws, and for 3.5 years he will be horror reigning over the world. Then the Father will say, enough, before the immense choir that will be formed in heaven through the sound of the solemn words of the saints, and the wicked beast will be slain, and cast into the well of the abyss, and, along with it, all the lesser beasts, to remain there with Satan, their begetter, for eternity. I shall then be called by the Father, to judge the living and the dead, as stated in the symbol of the faith. And the living, those who preserved life in themselves by having kept grace and faith alive, will inherit the kingdom, the power, and the magnificence of God. The spiritually dead will receive eternal death as their will has chosen to receive. And there will no longer be a earth or fleshly man. But there will be only children of God, creatures freed from all pain, and there will no longer be sin, and there will no longer be darkness, and there will no longer be fear. But only joy, joy, immense, eternal joy inconceivable for men. The joy of seeing God, of possessing and of understanding His thought and love. Come, O men, to the fount of life. I open its source to you. Draw from it, fortify yourselves in it so, as to be intrepid in trials, and come to immerse yourselves completely in it, in me, the source of blessedness, in the lovely paradise which my Father has created for you, and in which the threefold love of the one God, and the purity of our Mother await you, and, along with them, those who, by having been faithful, have already obtained life. Jesus then says to me, when I see you so attentive to my lessons, you strike me as a diligent student fond of her teacher, who, for her, represents all knowledge. When, on the other hand, you discover new parts on your own and make observations, and you do this in the visions, you make me think of a good child whose little hand is held by a father, and who is led by him before what he wants the child to see so, as to grow in intelligence, but at the same time he does not intervene so, as to give his thought the joy of discovering something new, and getting the sensation of growing in self-esteem. To do this, you must always be free from human cares. Increasingly free. You must be more and more secure, to walk at ease along the paths of contemplation, and ever more peaceful and trustful of me, who am holding your hand. A father does not let himself be noticed, but with 1,000 loving arts, acts to the point where his child sees that certain thing which he wants the child to see. Oh, I am the most loving of fathers and the most patient of teachers for my little ones, and when I can hold the hand of one who is docile and attentive, I am happy. Happy to be a teacher and father. It is so hard for my creatures to place their hand in mine trustingly so as to be led and instructed by me and to say to me, I love you above all things and with my whole self. To those few who are so entirely mine, without reserve, I open the treasures of revelations and contemplations and give myself without reserve. However, Maria, I choose you for the role of making known my divinity in its different manifestations among those who need to be awakened and led to glimpse God. Remember to be scrupulous to the utmost in repeating what you see. Even a single trifle has value, and it is not yours, but mine. It is thus not licit for you to hold it back. It would be dishonest and selfish. Remember that you are the reservoir for the divine watering into which that water is poured, so that all may come to draw therefrom. As regards the dictations, you have arrived at the most faithful fidelity. In the contemplations you observe a great deal, but in the haste of writing, and on account of your special conditions in health and surroundings, it happens that you omit some details. You must not do so. Place them at the foot of the page, but write down all of them. This is not a reproach, it is sweet advice from your master. Some days ago you said to me, for men to love you a little more by way of me justifies and repays all my effort and my life. Even if one single man were to return to you, by means of your hidden violet, she would be happy the more attentive and precise you are, the more numerous those who come to me will be, and the greater your present spiritual happiness, and your future eternal happiness will be. Go in peace. Your Lord is with you.